It's time now for World Watchers International with Mae Brussel, who for over 17 years has investigated and exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's Mae.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and it's broadcast number 517, November the 1st, 1981. I suppose the most disgusting story of the week, and it's hard to top them each week, is the one out of the Washington Post, the revelations of the experimentation on American GIs by the Japanese during the war. The Japanese war atrocities were terrible, and the cover-up, of course, compounds the problem. There were at least 3,000 human beings, American prisoners of war, that were used for biological experiments by the Japanese. And through the Freedom of Information Act, a gentleman by the name of John Powell is writing about these experiments. The Japanese used poisoning, radiation, doses of plague, anthrax, smallpox, germs, and also cut people up alive. The gist of the article was that the Americans entered an agreement with the Japanese that they would be granted immunity from war crimes in exchange for the information of the process of the radiation and the cutting up. And the names of the people who were experimented upon, of course, were not revealed. They all died, and I guess they just said that they were killed in battle. The shocking part was the way that they were covered, and the rationalization of the Americans was that we would save a lot of money. The quotation was that the doctors could use the information cheap, that the cost was a mere pittance compared with the actual cost that the Japanese had of carrying out the gruesome work. Two American officials, Dr. Edward Wetter and H.I. Stubblefield, said that they took samples, 8,000 slides of tissues and autopsies of human beings, and they treated them like animals with biological warfare experiments. And they agreed that there'd be no war crimes trials, that they would use the data for information in the United States, but it would be in the interest of defense and national security not to let any publicity come out. The reports were sent in December 1947 to the chief of basic scientists at Camp Dietrich, later known as Fort Dietrich in Maryland. This is where the mind control and biological warfare experiments continued up through today, I suppose. And that they appreciated the Japanese offering help and contributing information on the experiments. And the agreement was not to try them in any court. We tried the Germans and talked about the war crimes tribunal at Nuremberg. Scientists and doctors in Nuremberg were tried for offenses, experiments on the human beings. J. Edgar Hoover had information and confidential memoranda on these experiments. They were taking place outside Harbin in northern China, where Japan has biological warfare capacity, and the United States Army and Navy felt it would be very valuable to know what happens when you give plague or anthrax or smallpox, and then you let the people die from the disease, or radiation poisoning, and they pumped victims full of horse blood, or they cut them up while they were alive. And as I say, the rationale was, in quotes, it was a mere pittance compared to the actual cost to the Japanese for carrying out the gruesome work, that it was invaluable, that it couldn't be obtained in any other way by the United States because of the scruples attached to human experimentation. This is what the document said. It couldn't be carried out any other way, so we would let the Japanese do it, take the slides and so forth, and use the information, but for national security, don't let the story out at home. While this was going on, the famous doctor that was associated with Errol Flynn and the Gestapo, that got him involved in the Gestapo, and was in Vienna and traveled New Guinea and around the world and in Hollywood. He was an American citizen in 1932 and had been in Vienna and then went back there. And he was an American citizen while he was spying and working for the German government throughout the entire war. Dr. Joseph Mengele at Auschwitz was an American citizen since 1933. He was naturalized in New York. And while he was conducting his experiments at Auschwitz, he was an American citizen. And after the war, I understand that Dr. Mengele's was doing experiments for the CIA, for the Tennessee Valley Authority, and there were 200 people that died from radiation, similar to the radiation experiments the Japanese were doing, with the approval of the United States government that we would use your work and we would not prosecute you. We'll just take your experiments for what they're worth. Mengele's is experimenting on Indians in Paraguay right now. He has a large hospital, and he's doing a genocide on the Indian population, the males, right now in Paraguay. So he worked at Auschwitz. He worked with the Tennessee Valley Authority. He works in Paraguay. He never stopped working as an American citizen. He now is paid, or was paid, by the CIA, and was never held responsible for being the angel of death at Auschwitz or for the experimentation. And Michael Townley, the American citizen who works with Ford Motor Company and NASA, went down to Chile and worked at Colonial Dignidad. He was responsible for quartering up people and throwing them in the river, working with DINA, the Chilean secret police, the government that we are now going to send millions of dollars to, still continuing their oppressive regime. Michael Townley, a good American citizen, also cutting up people. Jonestown, another case, American citizens down there, 400 plus, a small amount over 400, were the first count dead, and then later it was 913. And there's reason to believe that many of them could have fled out into the forest or tried to escape and were shot and actually hunted and murdered. And these experiments on these people, that was an experimentation done by the State Department with the approval of the State Department, protected by our CIA, President Carter, the administration, and at the time, the same kind of tortures and murders, mass murders down there. And finally, that Dominica invasion that was stopped recently, that involved the Grand Dragon of the Klan, the Nazi Party, the Canadian Klan members, and there was even a suggestion of John Connolly and Robert Vesco's links to this. They were going to take that island, invade it, use it for distribution of Nazi literature in Dominica, and have a narcotic center gun running from that island all over the world. And they were going to import black people and turn them loose and hunt them like animals. I might have mentioned that before, but I'll bring it up again. I saw one article on that subject, how they were going to use the black people for hunting purposes, to hunt them down. I bring that up because this Japanese experiment happened a long time ago, but it never stopped. The same minds are doing it continuously, and while it's an unpleasant subject to talk about at such great length, if you don't bring it out in the open when it happens, which they didn't, and you don't bring these other matters out, they will continue. And there's no way to stop them until you want them stopped. And when you want it stopped, you will write congressmen in the House Intelligence Committee, or scream and yell, or maybe we'll get on the street with posters. I don't know what people can do to stop the Michael Townleys and the quartering and the Dominica type of torture that was suggested. But we know that the government in Paraguay helps, and the CIA helps Dr. Mengele's, and people just seem unable to move or to make any gesture of anger, or even it's very hard to even feel anything about this. There's so much numbness and indifference to the way people suffer. And in this case, American GIs, the Japanese case, were taken and experimented upon, and the Americans condone this and were appreciative to have that research in their hands. I'm going to discuss now a radio program that was on KGO this week. It was Owen Spann. He's a real nerd. It's ABC talk show, and he thinks he's cute. He's really abysmally stupid. But he goes to Washington. This is his eighth trip to Washington, and he had Jack Anderson on as his guest. And he asked Jack Anderson a question, which I was surprised he even knew enough to get into. He said, "Why are you doing so many articles on Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple?" He said, "I've never seen you do so much about any single subject. For the past 18 months, Jack Anderson has been pushing story after story about Theodore Shackley, Edwin Wilson, George Coracola," he leaves that name out, "and Frank Turple." He avoids Coracola, and he goes on to Turple. And Jack Anderson gave this answer to him, And I think it's important for you because I do use those names week after week for the past 2 years on these broadcasts. He said Gaddafi in Libya is a major supporter of terrorism around the world today. We saw the killing of Sadat, and he hinted, you know, that was done by specific terrorists. And the attempted murder of the Pope, and he, again, didn't say they were left terrorists. He acknowledged or hinted that they were right, but they were still terrorists. And he said Gaddafi not only is the leading promoter of terrorism, but the CIA, our own government, deserves the blame for some of what is going on. And he said that is why he's talking about it. He said the CIA is trying to compete with the Soviets. If the Soviet Union has terrorists, the United States has terrorists. If the Soviet Union assassinates, the United States has assassination teams and trains assassins. If the USSR has dirty tricks, the USA has dirty tricks and kidnappings and so forth. He said we are inconsistent with what our former beliefs and traditions were, and it's breaking the country apart. I happen to disagree. I think the slavery and the treatment of the Indians is our real tradition, that genocidal treatment of rounding up the Indians and eradicating them in America is what America is. And the importing of blacks to do the hard work and the dirty work is what America is about. Anderson thinks of the American dream, and he says that having these assassins, which is something fairly new to come out in the open, how the Defense Department, the CIA, are training for bombings, blowing up airplanes, blowing up synagogues, and so forth. The CIA is being smeared through all of this, and he said it was important because the CIA. He said our CIA hired mafia killers and the underworld, which I agree was one of the beginnings of the downfall of this country. He said we put the United States beyond acceptable behavior, hinting that there is no other country in the world, such as the United States, even England and Germany or other countries or France, that uses members of the organized crime to do the things that we are doing. They don't use the mob syndicate in their intelligence agencies, into their defense departments. They may have other problems, but they're not using the known syndicate families. He said when the CIA trains to kill, to sabotage, to torture, and to murder, and of course we had torturing with Savak in Iran and all around the world, we've trained torturers and to murder. And when some of these work for Gaddafi, this is a tremendous story. He says they have attempted to kill on American soil, and I can name 10 people, he said, that were killed or trained by American squads that were killed. And the United States trained one person to kill in Ethiopia. He had tape recordings of that. And he said, when the New York Times has a front page story, day after day, you know it's going to be big. And that's what I've tried to say on this broadcast about these people. When Seymour Hersh began those stories, June 14th and 21st, 1981, you knew then that the major media was going to break into these big stories. And Jack Anderson was of the belief that these are the most important stories, and I know they are. And that's why I'll continue to talk about them in the news each week and then go back to news years ago that's related to what these characters have been doing before the John Kennedy assassination on up through this era, because these are the assassination teams. They're linked with treacherous characters around the world in almost every country, and they're creating a chaos wherever they go. The top stories on them just this week, one was from the New York Times, again, Jeff Gerth and Philip Taubman. American pilots reported flying in Libyan forces, and it tells about pilots trained in Canada and Great Britain are paid by Wilson, Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple, and they fly all over the world, and particularly the bombings for Libya, that the pilots in the Libyan Air Force are American trained and sent over there. Another New York Times article by Bernard Gwertzman. This week, American pilots flying for Libya is said not to be in the U.S. interest. And it tells about the civilian airlines and the military airlines and how the Americans are flying the planes. A large article by Edward T. Pound in the New York Times. Again, Jeff Gerth is carrying most of them, but they're using other writers. And this is a hint of how big the story is getting. This article is the recruiter for the project in Libya sought personnel in Alabama. And it goes into Kenneth G. Beck, an Army veteran who went from Southeast Alabama to fly overseas for these radical terrorists. Richard Love, a helicopter pilot who signed up with Mr. Wilson in a London-based company called Western Recruitment. Edwin Wilson had about 127 companies, dummy fronts. Some of them are huge, and I'll go into detail on some of those in the weeks to come. Near Fort Rucker, Army Aviation Center down in Alabama is where they recruited, and they sent Vietnam veterans, Army veteran of 20 years, out and overseas, meeting at the Holiday Inn and they're from Alabama. Another story from the New York Times, a different writer, Stuart Taylor Jr., businessman tied to terrorist plot. And there's a 10-count indictment against Douglas M. Schlachter. He's now cooperating as a witness. He's overseas. He's in Burundi. And he's talking about the work he did for these people overseas. And we're talking about just one country. They have affected many countries and also supported Idi Amin, who's now comfortable in Saudi Arabia. And I'll go into that also. New York Times has another writer on this story, Barbara Crosette. U.S. heard reports of pilots in Chad, and this is the fact that we're sending these pilots to bomb and invade Chad. The American CIA and Wilson and Turple had a message last week, some form of a press conference, that they're not former CIA, they're present CIA. So we send pilots through them to go into Chad, and you have to look at the map of Africa to see where that is. And then it borders on Sudan. Then we tell the Sudanese, you can't be invaded by Libya and Chad interfering with your security. We will send the Sudan $100 million to defend themselves against Libya and Chad. So we're arming both sides, like I've mentioned before many times. And this article by Barbara Crosette in the New York Times is on Chad. Another large article by Jeff Gers and Mr. Taubman, and some of these articles, I'm just giving you the titles, and on the printed sheet that goes with this tape, I'll give you the dates so you'll have them, and then I'm going to have to index all of these articles and just spend a week or two doing nothing but that. They're very important. This one is shooting suspect linked to ex-agent's farm. There's a trial that's going to take place in Colorado starting this week of Eugene Trafoya. He had almost killed a man who was opposing Gaddafi. He lives in Colorado, a student. He shot him, Mr. Zagalia, but he's alive. He's still living. The attack took place in October 14, 1980. But after Trafoya tried to kill him, he left this country, and he went over to England to Mr. Wilson's house, Edwin Wilson. He has a large farm next door to Senator John Tower in Virginia. Then he has an estate, the Stepplefield Grange, a large estate in Great Britain, and Trafoya stayed there in one of the houses, formerly owned by the Marquis of Reading. It's a very old, beautiful estate, and he has a telex machine there, a farmhouse, a safe house, and Trafoya stayed with him a while. Wilson purchased the English property. It was bought through a Swiss corporation controlled by Mr. Wilson, and the Jeep and other pieces of material are owned in Virginia under another name. He has a large home. It's 35 miles south of London, and the New York Times, October 25th, has pictures of his home there. Another article, the Los Angeles Times, they don't get into this too often, but eventually they'll have to get into the story because it's so much bigger than Libya and Uganda. It has to do with a team of people that were directly linked to the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Watergate, Jonestown, the whole era. You name it. I can make connections of these people to the John Lennon murder and a continuous cycle of names appearing in cities that interlock with these people. And eventually, the story goes beyond Libya. It goes, as I said last week, it goes to Iran. It comes out to California, to Hewlett-Packard. It goes to Germany and all over the world, Hawaii and bases, Saudi Arabia, of the banks where money is sent to kill heads of states, to kill political leaders, to overthrow governments. This is the Phoenix program that did so well in Southeast Asia, killing 30 or 40,000 people and training these killers and disseminating them around the world with the funds coming out of the dummy front organizations of Edwin Wilson, Thomas Kleins, and Frank Turple. In one article I have here, it says that Frank Turple, the Los Angeles Times article, is wanted by the Internal Revenue because he's $2.4 million behind in his taxes last year or the last couple of years. Can you imagine what his earnings are in taking money and setting up these terrorist teams such as Carlos the Jackal and the various bombings of airplanes and murders? His United States taxes were $2.4 million behind. I don't know what the proportion, what you have to earn to pay a tax of $2.4 million. But when I talk about Turple, I'm not talking about some little slouch. This is an important man who worked at Stanford Technology out here in California, where Edwin Wilson was, and had many questionable roles, such as I mentioned last week in Greece at the time that the CIA man Richard Welch was murdered. The Los Angeles Times, as I say, has an article by Robert L. Jackson, finally getting into the story this week. Inquiry on the ex-CIA men points to loss of secrets. It tells about terrorism for hire, the uncovering of a skein of tangled deals pointing towards a potentially devastating drain of U.S. military secrets and know-how. Now, all of this, I believe, is going to pro-Nazi governments, fascist governments, people not sympathetic to our American way of life, but the CIA and the Defense Department are giving them the money to do this. And the Los Angeles Times refers to it as a skein of tangled deals. It goes into Britain's Scotland Yard uncovering evidence of links to other foreign powers besides Libya, and this will go to many, many countries, how Wilson tried to use Stanford Technology. They describe it as a small electronics firm in Sunnyvale, California. It's small in office space. It's small in some respects. It's just a spot on the map, but it reached many countries and was directly linked to Richard Helms in Iran and the Central Intelligence Agency. And through this, Turple, according to the Los Angeles Times, collected as much as $3.2 million for Idi Amin in Uganda, and he trained the police force there in sabotage and intelligence techniques. This is for Idi Amin before he went over to Saudi Arabia. They were testing him. The Los Angeles Times article goes into Theodore Shackley, a senior CIA official. He was the station chief over in Southeast Asia, working with the CIA and the Phoenix program. Again, working also with the JM Wave, the Frank Sturgis group of anti-Castro Cubans that were involved in killing John Kennedy. Shackley was in Germany until 1962 and came to Miami to work with those assassins. It tells about their links to the Egyptian government and how Wilson linked to the Egyptian American Transport and Services Company, which I said was TERSAM, which was actually sending not weapons to Egypt, but over to the PLO and to the enemies of Sadat. Wilson allegedly made monthly payoffs, the Los Angeles Times said, in 1976 to the U.S. Army Material Command so that they could bug them and get devices for bugging the offices of the Army Material Command. Now, Wilson is Navy Intelligence, Office of Navy Intelligence, directly under Admiral Bobby Inman, who became Deputy Director of the CIA under Casey, and they were working under Henry Kissinger and the National Security Council. So the Los Angeles Times finally, and once in a while, comes out with an article on the subject, and it won't be long before they'll be forced to have maybe some story every day, just as they had to do with Watergate. And also this week, the mention of the trial of Eugene Tafoya that's going to take place. Ex-Green Beret accused of acting for Gaddafi. Now, this will be an interesting trial in Denver, Colorado. He claims that he was working for the Central Intelligence Agency, that he wasn't working for Gaddafi unless Gaddafi is an agent of the CIA. When he shot or tried to kill this particular person in Colorado, that the CIA had sent him there. And that is going to be his defense. And to verify that, he pulled out documents that will come out in the trial that He traveled on official government business in Central America in the 1970s. I wonder, Tafoya was over in London at the home of Edwin Wilson on those estates, and these people are linked to the Guyana, the agents involved in Guyana that set up the colony where Jim Jones was to locate. The money for that colony came from London and from Germany, and I believe there's direct links, and I do want to go into finer detail from the Nugenhand Bank to that outfit in the Nugenhand was sending money to London and Germany, and they would send money down to Guyana. And I wonder if Tafoya was sending down to Central America to Guyana, down in South America and Central America, because the money for that also came out from the Cayman Islands, the banks there to help fund Jonestown. And they had a lot of banks around the world that were sending money down to them. But a lot of it came from London, and Tafoya was very comfortable at the home of Edwin Wilson safe houses. George Corcola assisted in those. Well, that trial of his links to the CIA is beginning this week and will take place. Another point about the trial of Tafoya is that when he was arrested and suspected of being the one who shot at Colorado, the student in Colorado, the attempted murder, he had in his possession the names of the two Egyptians that were close to Mubarak, the defense minister, and the brother-in-law of Sadat. He had the names of Egyptian officials with him at the time that he was arrested. So he's linked to Edwin Wilson and Frank Turpel and Thomas Kleins and the Egyptian branches of counterintelligence that were doing Sadat in, and he also was linked to the murder attempt in Colorado and goodness knows where else. And finally, one more article, and I'm just using the big articles here this last week, not the small ones in the daily papers, but the major stories that are half a page or so long. This morning's paper, November the 1st, from the New York Times again, the fugitive former U.S. agent called the key to Libya's operation in Chad. And this article says Libya would have difficulty sustaining an intervention in the country of Chad if it were not for the American intelligence, pilots and technicians, the Western personnel and materiel, Americans flying and maintaining the Libyan aircraft, including helicopters, were used in the intervention in Chad. It's in an effort considered legal by federal authorities obtained $35 million worth of spare parts in the United States and Britain for the Libyan they had aircraft manufactured in America, and the parts, $35 million worth, were sent overseas where the British and Americans opened up the packages and then assembled them on cargo planes and helicopters for Libya. This New York Times article says they recruited American helicopter pilots and mechanics. They trained the Palestinians, the PLO, and the Libyans to fly and maintain their helicopters. They constructed at least one so-called clean room, a sterile soundproof chamber, including the assembly of conventional and nuclear weapons. Libya does not possess nuclear weapons, but it has the possibility of making them because the United States government and American intelligence sent over soundproof chamber clean room for nuclear weapons. They employed British pilots and mechanics to maintain the planes. The planes were the backbone for troops and material that interfered with Chad, and they recruited American oil technicians and oil airfield equipment for the Libyan oil resources, and the United States intelligence and the CIA were sending over the equipment for atomic bombs, for airplanes, disassembled, put together in London to supply Gaddafi to attack Chad so that Alexander Haig and the news people could attack Gaddafi, all done by American technology and know-how. And finally, there was a long article on Samuel Cummings in the Washington Post, October 18, 1981. He's the gentleman from London, was in the CIA, moved to London, has a home in Ireland and in Monte Carlo, who supplies these people with the weapons. He has 40 to 80,000 sporting arms in one of his depot alone, 40 to 80,000. He has a company called Inter Arms. He manufactures in Virginia 80 pistols a day from a Swiss firm, Hammerley. He has another plant in Huntsville, Alabama, Way makes 1,000 Walther pistols under the license from the original German maker. They're made by Cummings, and he's supplying these terrorists, and it's funded by the United States government. We'll take a one-minute break and get on to some other related subjects to these people, but those are the main articles about Wilson and Turple just this week in the news, this week alone.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.